Let us pray. Eternal Father in heaven, at this most sacred hour, Lord, we come recognizing that we should worship you on the day you have told us to worship you. We come, O Lord, asking that you would fill this room with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that you would give me a double portion of your Spirit, that self will not be seen, but that your word will be heard. Lord, now you said that if we would ask, we receive. So we ask, O Lord, for the presence here, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the touching of hearts, the loving of our fellow man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I told you that this is Women's Emphasis Sabbath, and the message that I'm going to deliver is going to be one that was written by a Priscilla Metundu. She is a Seventh-day Adventist lady from the Western Central African Division. And I said most of the ideas are hers because, I mean, the Bible is the Bible is the Bible. I've added my own touch to it because I think that's what God wants all of us to do when we read his word, is to personalize it and how it applies to us. So if you look in your bulletin, it says, remembering Lot's wife. And as Maria read the scripture, you know, she talked about, Jesus was talking about how things were going to be in the last days. And he mentioned Noah. And then at the very end, it said, remember Lot's wife. Now, I don't know about you. I thought I knew this story pretty well, you know. But then, you know, you don't always know what you know. So what I am going to do is, first of all, I said, remember. Why would he say that? So naturally, went to Webster. Remember is a verb, and it means to bring to mind or to think again, to keep in mind for attention or consideration. Now, I'm going to use that second definition there because that's what I think he's saying, to keep in mind for attention or consideration. In remember Lot's wife. Now, the word remember also connotes that it has been spoken before. It has been said sometime in the past. So, the scripture text I'm going to read from you, and I am going to read from the Clear Word because I think it paints a vivid picture about Lot's wife. You would find the complete story in Genesis 18th and 19th chapter. But I'm just going to read for you in Genesis the 19th chapter, starting at verse 15. All night Lot tried to reason with his children, one by one, but they wouldn't listen. In the early morning hours, when he returned home, the two men, or the two angels, said to him, "We're glad you're back. Quick, take your wives, your wife, and your two daughters, and get out of here so you won't perish. By sunrise, the whole city and everyone in it will be up in smoke." Lot hesitated, and that's what I said. I thought I had read this before. Didn't realize that. Lot hesitated to go because of the wealth and the property he owned there. Now, if you all go back to chapter 18, you remember with Abraham and Lot, remember that God had prospered them so much that they didn't have enough land for their sheep and their cattle and all of the things that they had. So they decided to separate. And Abraham told Lot to look over all of the land that God had promised them and to choose where he would go. And he said, if you go east, then I'll take that with, I'll take go west. In other words, Abraham was saying, Lot, you have the first pick. And Lot chose to settle near Sodom because the land looked good. It was prosperous. But then also, as I read in there, you know, that last statement, you know, should have been sort of a clue to Lot, because it said, and the people in Sodom were indeed wicked. So you would think he would have been going in the other direction. But the men took him, took Lot and his wife and his two daughters by the arm and pulled them out of the city. When they got to the edge of the town, the men released them and said, now run for your lives and don't stop and look back. Keep going right through the valley and up to the mountains. Lot said, please don't make us go up into the mountains. You've already been kind enough to save our lives, but it's too hard to live in the mountains, and it's so far away. Besides, we can't run that far or that fast. We would die before we got there. Can't we go to this little town over there nearby? Please, let us go. It's only a small village, and we can run that far, and we can reach it in time. Besides, it'll be safer and more comfortable there than in the mountains. The angel said, all right, we'll let you go there. And for your sake, we won't destroy that village as we had planned. But hurry and run, because we can't do anything until you are safe. Because Lot referred to the village he went to as little, the town has ever since been called Zoar, meaning small. It was just sunrise when Lot and the family reached Zoar. While most of the people in the city were sleeping, some of the men of Sodom, who were still bent on doing evil, got up early and went to Lot's house. But when they got there, they found it was empty. Suddenly, the sky blazed with fire, and it rained down fiery sulfur and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. So both cities were destroyed, as was everything in the valley, including people, animals, grains, all were destroyed. But Lot's wife, who had begged to live in Sodom, looked back longingly and was instantly turned into a figure of salt. Remember Lot's wife. Now, the scripture today is about Lot's wife. The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah had gone up before the Lord, and he had decided that the people were so wicked that he had to destroy the city. But in those cities lived Lot, who was Abraham's nephew. While God was revealing to Abraham his intentions to destroy the city, Abraham pleaded for the safety of his nephew who was in Sodom. And God told him that he would indeed save his family. As the scripture tells us, the angels went to Lot and his family to save them from destruction. Unfortunately, Lot's daughters and their husband did not listen to the message as it was given. So Lot and his two wives, Lot, his wife and two daughters, they lingered. They were not rushing to get to a place of safety. Now, I don't know about you, but if the angel had come to me and told me that he was going to destroy the city and to get out, I think I would be, no one would have to tell me twice. But interestingly here, it said, because they had much wealth, that they lingered on. they were taking their time. So the angels decided, now, this is how good God is. Because they were just decided that they weren't going to go. And what did the angels do? He took them by the hands and he set them outside of the city. That the Lord was so merciful to us, and that he does not desire that any of his children should perish. And he told them, the angels told him, said, escape for your life. Don't look back. And explicit command. And he told them, said, escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Here again, shows you how good God is. Lot and his family were now on the way to salvation because they had been removed from Sodom and Gomorrah. But even at that stage, instead of them running ahead, they began to bargain with the angels. Do you do that sometime, bargain with God? Saying, well, Lord, I know you said this, but, you know, I'd like to do that. Instead, they asked him, well, don't send us to the mountains. Let us go to this small village nearby. Now, remember, the angels had told them that they were going to destroy everything in the valley. Here, once again, God allowed them to have their way. But they were again admonished. Hurry, escape there. Do not look back. I can't do anything until you arrive safely. You know, that reminds me at the end of time, you know, when trouble comes, you know, God is going to seal us, those of us who are alive. And he is going to protect us from those troubles that come. So, you know, you can see Genesis is at the beginning talking about how God, in essence, that's what he did. He sealed them. He said, you go and escape. I'm not going to destroy until you're safe. In spite of all that God did to save his family, Lot's wife looked from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. What a tragedy. And that is why Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. I have begun to pay close attention to specific individuals that Jesus and Bible writers talk about, because that tells me that there is something definite, a definite lesson there that God would like for me to learn. So what would have been some of the reasons that she would have looked back? As we say, she was in a place of safety. She had been given an explicit command. Do not look back. Well, I'm going to list three of them for you. One is that while the body of Miss Lot had left the city, her heart was still in Sodom. Is that not the way it is with us sometimes? As Christians, you know, we're in the church, but our hearts are still in the world. It could have been that she was saying, will I ever see my children again, or my grandchildren? But it tells us that they had great wealth. Could it have been the splendid house that she had, all of the furniture, the beautiful dresses that caused her heart to remain in Sodom? Scripture continually warns us about putting material things before God. Yes. Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 24th verse, tells us that no man can serve two masters. He will have a divided loyalty. God will not accept divided loyalty. I don't know if you're aware of that, folks. He wants your whole heart. And it stated that in this scenario, after receiving salvation, because that is what she did, they were saved at that point. Lot's wife, Hot, still remained in Sodom. Where is your heart? Is it with God? Or is it with the world? Another reason that, the second reason, could possibly have been that she was just curious. She was wondering, will God really destroy Sodom? Oh, he wouldn't destroy all of those people. How will fire destroy a whole city? Whew, let me see what God will do. Then she looked back. This reminds me of those in Noah days, because they had not seen rain and were not able to comprehend the idea that he was saying that the earth was going to be covered with water. They chose not to believe God's message that was preached by Noah. Curiosity killed Mrs. Lot. And the third one could have been unbelief. The fact that Mrs. Lot looked back to the burning city was a sign of her disbelief in what she had been told. That is why she lingered until she was forced to leave the city. She did not really believe that God would do what he said he would do. Her unbelief caused her to look back. In this story, the Bible tells us that in the last days, that is the way it will be with us. God has told us that at Jesus' second coming, the world will be destroyed by fire. And God wants his people to escape in order to be saved. Therefore, he has sent, and he's still sending his messengers to us as he did to Lot and his family. Angels are holding our hands to take us out of this world of sin so that we can enter into the kingdom of God. God intervened in our lives in various ways. Through the sermons that are preached each Sabbath, through inspirational books that we read, through music that we hear. Sometimes he even helps us through the circumstances of other people. Can you imagine how many messages from God that you've heard since you've become a Christian? We can hear God saying, escape for your life. And we are like Lot's wife. We're lingering. We don't move. Sermons about the second coming of Christ and the end of the world have become familiar to our ears, and we are not moving. Just like Mrs. Lot, we want to look back and to resume our lives the way they used to be. Sometimes, because the trials and hardships that we suffer as Christians, we are tempted to look back. We think that the church is too demanding, so we want to go where it's easier to be a Christian. Remember, God is still warning. Escape from your life. Come out of the world and find safety in me. God's warnings are a sign of his love and that he cares for us. In his love, God gives us warnings because to act, to keep us from looking back. When Lot's wife disobeyed God's command and looked back, she became a monument of God's displeasure. She was struck dead and turned into a pillar of salt forever. Oh, yes, she lingered, she longed, she looked back, and she died a terrible death. She was very close to the city of salvation, yet she did not make it in. Almost saved, but lost. That is a terrible, terrible condition to be in when you think you're saved and you're lost. Lot's wife is a perpetual warning to us. If we follow in her footsteps, knowing that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and if we disobey and look back because of one reason or another, the tragic result will be similar. God says in Hebrew, the 10th chapter and the 38th verse, that he has no pleasure in those who draw back. Because when we look back, it's just like we have forgotten what Christ has done for us with all of his suffering. When we look back, it's just like that we have given up trust and confidence in Christ. When we look back, it's just like we are crucifying the Savior one more time. Going back to our past sinful life will displease God. What a terrible thing when God is not pleased with us. Moreover, Jesus tells us in Luke, the 9th chapter in the 62nd verse, whosoever looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. We have given our lives to God. We are nearing salvation. We are almost home. But looking is still fatal. The story of Lot's wife is written for our admonition, as it is stated in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 6th verse. Now these things became our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Looking back is destruction. Looking back is death. Looking back is sin. Looking back is eternal ruin. The principles we have to remember is never look back. Remember Lot's wife. Always look forward. Now that we've said some things of why Mrs. Lot may have looked back, I'd like to share with you three ways that we can always keep going forward and never looking back. The first of that is total obedience to God. Obedience to God is to carry out his word and his will without delay or hesitation. Now, I'm guilty of delaying or hesitating sometimes when God tells me to do things. But I am just so glad that he is a merciful and a forgiving God. If Lot's wife had not been disobeyed, she would have been saved. Obedience to God is life. It is the supreme test of our faith and our reverence to him. As Christians in these last days, it is vital that we become patient listeners, willing to listen to God's word and to give him our undivided attention. We can have full confidence in whatever God says. Whatever he asks of us, we should do. Whatever he says, we should believe. Wherever he sends us, we should definitely go. As the songwriter puts it, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And God also tells us in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter and the 22nd verse, to obey is better than sacrifice. Jesus came all the way from heaven to this earth to show us how we can obey. He did everything that his Father asked of him, even going to the death on the cross. There is a blessing in obedience. Ellen White expresses it beautifully in Christ's Object Lessons, as she says, blessing for this life and the life to come is possible for us only through obedience. The second way that we can keep looking forward and not looking backward is our singleness of purpose. Singleness of purpose means that we are focused on one goal, not two or three. Paul gives us an example of this singleness of purpose in Philippians, the third chapter, the 13th and the 14th verse. Let us just turn to that scripture, please. Philippians, the third chapter, the 13th and the 14th verse. Again, I'm reading from the clear word. I certainly don't consider myself to have reached the divine standard of Christ likeness. However, there is one thing I have done and will continue to do, and that is to forget the things that are in the past and to push ahead to reach the spiritual goals that lie ahead, held out by God who is calling me heavenward through Jesus Christ, his Son. Derek, would you read that in your version of the Bible, please? Okay.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you.
Okay. So we see that Paul's one goal was to follow the call of God to heaven. And he pressed all of his energies into reaching that goal. Paul had one aim and one purpose in life. He wanted to spend eternity with God. I don't know about you, but I do. I want to spend eternity with God. Paul did not integrate the world with religion, wealth with salvation. That's what helped Paul to be strong in his times of trial. The time has come for us to forget about what the world has to offer us. We will accomplish little if we are distracted by the multiplicity of things that are in this world. Therefore, we are to look forward and to focus our mind on the coming of Jesus. God said to the children of Israel at the Red Sea, go forward, go forward. The same appeal has been made to us today. Let us go forward and never look back. God is there to lead us. Eternity is at hand. Everything is at stake. The one thing we have to do is to press toward heaven. Obedience and having one goal is possible through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the third thing that we can do so that we will keep going forward and not look backwards is to fix our eyes upon Jesus. As human beings, we are weak and feeble. We can move forward only if we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Remember Peter's experience as he walked on the water? As long as his eyes was focused on Jesus, he was able to do, I guess, what no other man has been able to do, to walk on water. But then when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. So we need to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, because without Jesus, we have no power to progress. Jesus is the only one who can give us the strength, the help, and the power to obey and to act. We are nothing But Christ is all and in all. We may unite our ignorance with Christ's wisdom, our weakness with his strength, our imperfections with his merit, our frailties with his enduring might. We need to fix our eyes upon Jesus, first of all, because he is our Savior. He has paid the price for your salvation, for my salvation. He endured the cross, all of the shame, just for you and just for me. Amen. The sorrow in his soul of being separated from the Father, the torture and pain of his body, the piercing thorns on his head, the tearing of his flesh as the soldiers beat him, the nails that were in his hands and in his feet. All of this he endured because he loves us. We need to fix our eyes upon Jesus because he is the only one who can carry us through to the end. We can be assured of his love. Only through him can we obey God. And only through him are we justified before God. So we need to keep our eyes fixed upon him. Another reason we need to keep our eyes fixed upon him, because Jesus divested himself of divinity and became human. And he did that so he could suffer like we suffer, so he could be tempted as we are tempted. So when we have hardships, he understands our hardships, and he understands the temptations that we have. If we keep our eyes upon Jesus, he will deliver us to the heavenly city. Because God has said that if I have you in my hand, no man, and that's even Satan, cannot pluck you out of God's hand. But rest assured, if you desire to leave, God will open his hand and he will let you walk away, even though it grieves him tremendously. He will not impose his will upon your will. Let us rejoice in the certainty of the promises of the Bible. And I think we talked about that in Sabbath school today. And then on Wednesdays at our Bible, weekly Bible study, we talked about claiming the promises of God. That gives us strength in our time of weakness. It helps us to endure to the end. We will surely be saved. So now, if you are tempted to look back, remember Lot's wife. Make the decision today to move forward and never go backwards. Very soon, Jesus is going to come again. He's going to come and he's going to take those who have surrendered their lives to him, those who have been obedient to his word and done what he said that they should do. He's going to come back and take us to that heavenly city where he'll give us that crown of life, where victory will be ours, where there will be no more tears, no more aches, no more pains, no more disappointments, no more broken hearts, no poverty, no hunger. Can you just see that picture of heaven that Jesus has for us? And he's going to give us a crown of victory because he's going to say, because through the blood of Jesus, we have overcome. And because we have been obedient and we have done as he has said, we will be able to live there with him. The joys of heaven awaits us. The best is yet to come. By God's grace, I'm going to be there. My brothers and sisters, what about you? Remembering Lot's wife. Remembering that she was, had been given salvation. Yet she chose to be disobedient and to look back. I admonish you not to look back, to look forward, to keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus, to surrender your heart to total obedience to God and to His Word, to have a singleness of purpose, eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Again, remember, as I said, the definition is to take it into consideration to what happened to Lot's wife. Let us not be like Lot's wife. Let us accept the gift of salvation that has been extended to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let us walk forever faithful, hand in hand with Him. And we shall reach that glorious city. Let us pray. Eternal Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us examples in the Bible that show that you desire that none of us should perish. But Lord, you also have shown us that we must be obedient to your word, that we must do what you have told us to do. Lord, you have paid the price because you sent your only begotten Son. You sent him here, Lord, to die the death that I should have died. He who was without sin. He who was that perfect sacrifice. So, Lord, we ask that you would cover us in the robe of his righteousness, because that is the only way we can enter into heaven. Father, we ask that you would be with us, Lord, to help us to be witnesses for you, Lord, to spread this message that Jesus is coming a second time. And when he comes, he will have his reward with him. Let us spread the word that God loves everyone. Let us be a witness through our lives. Let us be doers of the words and not hearers only, Lord. Father, we ask that you would seal us with your Holy Spirit. Seal us, Lord, so that we will have the power to forgive, to love, and to witness. Help us to lift Jesus up, because he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lord, we ask that you be with every family here, Lord. You know the needs, and you know the praises that they have. Again, Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. This we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.